Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Linker Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Omega Metroid podcast from OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, and as you can probably guess and see by now, we did not get a chance to get together and record the Inspired by Metroid episode that we had said that we were going to deliver last week. This is my curse. Every time I try and come on the podcast and hype up an episode that we're going to release next week, I don't know what it is. It always seems like something happens, something gets in the way, schedules don't line up, and we have to end up putting it off. So sorry about that, everybody. I can confirm for everybody that we will be getting together and recording this Inspired by Metroid episode, and I think it's going to be worth the wait, because I think that again, no big spoilers here to anybody that's been paying attention, but I think that the game we're going to be talking about, everybody's been talking about, and I think it's one of the best Metroidvanias that's ever been released. So bear with us. We are going to get to that next week. Like I said, between me and Doom and the other guests that we're going to have on the show this week, our schedules just quite didn't line up in time where we thought that we could really do this game justice. So instead of kind of hammering it out, we wanted to take our time and make sure that we could talk about the game in full as we wanted to and as it deserves. So that will be coming next week. What we got on tap for this week is a Patreon unlock, another series in the ROM Hack review series of shows that was exclusive and still is exclusive in a sense to our Patreon channel. We've been slowly unlocking them over the last couple of months / year, I guess. And what's on tap this month is a very cool Metroid Zero mission ROM hack that is actually called Doomtroid. And as the name kind of implies, it is a hack that's basically Doom inspired, like obviously the first person shooter Doom. Now, of course, it's a Metroidvania, but it was a very cool game, and I remember when I was playing it, I was pretty I enjoyed it for what it was, and I had a good time with it as well, and I just thought that what better to hold us over until we get to next week other than just a classic Metroid / Doom crossover here, something that I think a lot of fans have wanted for a long time, and that is of course why this mod was probably created in the first place. So and I actually had Doominal Crossing join me on this episode as well. I mean, we couldn't do Doomtroid without having Doom on it, right? Like, that just seems like a given. So enjoy ROM Hack reviews for this week. Try out Doomtroid for yourself. It was made by Jeffy962, so shout out to that amazing creator. And like I said, we will return next week with Inspired by Metroid, and I'm really looking forward to that. Sorry once again that we had to delay the show, but I think that the episode will definitely be worth it and will be better for it. And in the meantime, check out some cool ROM hack content here that, hey, maybe it'll hold you over until the next Metroid game comes out, whenever the heck that is. So, enjoy, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you back next week for some Inspired by Metroid. Hello, Omega Metroid patrons, and welcome to another episode of ROM Hack Reviews. This episode is late, but I promise you it'll be worth it. We are covering the Metroid Zero Mission ROM hack called Doomtroid, and you know that we could not do a Doom Metroid crossover game without inviting the walking epitome of Doom Metroid crossover himself, Doominal Crossing. Doom, welcome to ROM Hack Reviews.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing me on, Andy. It's good to be here. Always love to talk about Doom and Metroid. You know, it's not often you get to do both at the same time.
It's not, so, no.
You know, we gotta take it where we can get it.
Here's a little inside baseball for all of our patrons here. So about, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years ago now, because the podcast is about to turn three. So probably like 2 years ago, I just finished playing Doom 2016, and I was like, we should do an Inspired by Metroid about Doom. And I was like, I don't really care if it's not necessarily inspired by Metroid, but I was like, it feels close enough to Metroid Prime for me. And Dak was like adamant that we do not do this because he was like, it's not inspired by Metroid. If anything, it's Metroid is inspired by Doom. And I was like, oh, come on. So that's why that episode never happened, but I wanted it to happen. So I just want to throw that out there.
I would personally be more in the Dak camp on this one, actually. I don't feel like that would warrant an Inspired by Metroid, as much as I certainly would love talking about it. I will say, though, Doom Eternal has a bit more of that Metroid influence. There's a lot more platforming in that game between a lot of the combat arenas that definitely feels very Metroid-inspired. And there's also some very unsubtle references. I'll just say that without giving away any spoilers. But if you've played through the Necrovol level, there's a certain mini-boss that appears, and if you know, you know.
God, I don't know what's my malfunction here, Doom. I'm looking at Doom Eternal on my shelf, and I've had it for at least, like, a year and a half, and I don't know. I just haven't got around to it. I have no excuse.
Backlogs are weird, man. I have literally, like, what, nearly 200-300 games in my backlog right now, and like, you know, it's just a part of it is just getting the desire to play through. You have to be in the right mood, and then also just life gets in the way, your responsibilities and whatnot, and so you just gotta wait for the lightning to strike. You gotta wait for that motivation to hit you. So as much as I would love you to play Doom Eternal, I also don't fault you for it, because I mean, it's a lot of work to find that motivation to finally get into it.
Yeah, I think, like, my problem is I'm so used to the Switch now, like, being portable, that, like, I have it for my Xbox, and, like, there was no way I was going to buy Doom Eternal for the Switch. But, like, I have a hard time now playing games that aren't for the Switch, because I just kind of love sitting on my couch, on my butt, and playing games. But I'll tell you what, when I do play Doom Eternal, we have to do an episode on that. Maybe it's just a bonus, like, Spiteri show that we can do that on, but we got to get it done, I think, because I think there's a lot of Metroid fans that are Doom fans, and probably because the series kind of inspire each other, which brings us right back to Doomtroid. And this is, like I said, it is a Metroid Zero Mission hack, and it is made by Jeffy962. So shout out to Jeffy for this. So I played through this, and this actually, this hack was a lot shorter than I thought that it was going to be. I was kind of giving myself the weekend to play through this because I've been catching up on a lot of projects and whatever. But I was done it in like no time. And I think I sent you a video to watch of it too. And the video itself was only like, I don't know, 20 some minutes probably. So it's very, very short.
Yeah, from what I looked up on it, it seems like this was made for like a week-long contest. So I think that would explain why it's really short and bite-sized.
Yeah, and I think that really comes across, because it feels more like a, I don't know, like a demo maybe, or like a proof of concept that you could take and say like, okay, we can make this a full-fledged game after. So I wouldn't say that this is the strongest hack that I've played in ROM Hack Reviews. I feel a little bit bad saying this, but this might be at the bottom, or like the bottom, near the bottom or at the very bottom, unfortunately. But, and I think that there's a couple reasons for that, and I want to detail some stuff through my playthrough here, and you can chime in when you want here too as well, Doom. But so one of the things that I've really like I've really been harping on when I'm playing these ROM hack review or these ROM hack games is like, I really like the ROM hacks that make an effort to be distinctive. And so right away, one of the things about this hack that kind of, I guess it started off on a little bit of a backwards note, or it didn't start off strongly, is that the game fires up. It has the exact same title screen. It says Metroid Zero Mission. It has the exact same, like, the title music, where other hacks that we've seen at least have, like, a different title screen. Maybe they have some different music. So I kind of thought, like, right there, I was like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be at the level of some of the other hacks that I've played through. And I wasn't expecting it to be at the level of, like, some of the best hacks that I've played through. But, like, I don't know. I was kind of thinking, like, when I played Balls to the Walls, like, that was a short hack as well. But it did have, like, a really unique gimmick and a really unique personality. So right away, I was just kind of like, eh, I don't know. Hey, we might be in a bit of trouble here.
So I agree with all that. But again, I'm looking through it through the lens of this was a hack that was made at the last second for a contest that was only a week long. And so obviously, because of those limitations, I wasn't expecting going into this, you know, a full-fledged hack that almost feels like its own unique experience. It very much feels more like a bite-sized Zero Mission remix and less like a Doom Metroid fan hack.
That's a good way to put it, yeah. And I would say, too, like, you're probably going to hear me levy some critique. Well, you are going to hear me levy some critiques against this hack. But, I mean, that being said, I've said this every single episode, and I'll say it again. The guys that make these hacks are, like, so incredible at what they do, and it's just such a... It's such an unbelievable skill set, actually. Like, I can't even fathom how they do it. I'm part of the Metroid Construction Discord, and like hearing some of these guys talk about whatever they talk about, like whatever goes into making these hacks, is just like, it's like somebody is speaking the code from the Matrix or something like that. And I was just like, okay, whatever. So I certainly, and yeah, this particular hack was definitely made for a contest, and it was a contest that was like, okay, make the best hack that you can make in a week. So I certainly want to let it be known that, like, yeah, like, this is obviously way better than anything I could ever accomplish and, like, and all that. But, you know, we are gonna point out some things that could have been better, and we'll give some praise to the things that are pretty cool. So that being said, let's talk about just the premise here. And the premise is simple but glorious. And the title screen starts off and it just says, "Rip and tear, let's go," which I kind of love. And Ridley, the dastardly Ridley, has opened up a portal to Heck. Not to hell, but to Heck. So it's our mission to see if we can close it. So, you know, we're starting off just kind of getting right to the action. So I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny when they renamed Hell to Heck. That gave me a good chuckle there. But
I don't know why. There's just something so charming about Heck. I don't know.
I know it's like this subtle reminder, like, hey, just keep in mind we're playing a fan-made Nintendo game here, folks. Like,
so you're a music guy, you can probably tell me this. So there's really only two themes that play in this game, and the first theme plays in kind of like, so you start off in like an industrial like kind of area. It's supposed to be like a complex of some sorts, and then eventually you get outside to Heck. But the first area, the industrial complex, has this tune playing. And at first, I was listening to it, and I was like, is that original music? And actually, I still can't tell. Like, it sounds kind of funky, like almost like something you would hear from Perfect Dark.
So that's actually, that's the ship theme you hear in Zero Mission when you first sneak aboard the ship. And it's actually a new arrangement of the wrecked ship from Super Metroid. It's used a couple of times in Zero Mission. And when you first enter Crateria, and then that version that you hear in that section is when you're sneaking aboard the ship in the Zero suit.
Yeah, I don't know why. I couldn't place it for a while, which is actually funny because I've been playing like a ton of Zero Mission, so I don't know why. But the more I heard it, I was like, I'm pretty sure this is from the game. But there was something about it just in the context when it started playing. It was very funky. It was very kind of Perfect Dark-esque. And I kind of liked it.
I'm telling you, man, Zero Mission's got good music. That GBA is not the best sound quality, but man, there are some good tunes composed on it.
Yeah, you know, I would actually love a remake of a remake one day, because I do think that Zero Mission probably deserves better than what the Game Boy Advance could give it. Okay, so starting off here, we start off with a couple of our like baseline items, which is always very nice. So we got the power grip, we got the long beam, and we got the high jump right away, which I absolutely love. I love the games that like don't kind of force you to go get like those standard bare bones like pickups or whatever. But one thing that that does not make an appearance at all in this game ever is the morph ball bombs, which is kind of strange. It's weird to play a game without the morph ball bombs and by definition the power bombs. And there is a couple other items that don't make an appearance either. I did not find the screw attack. I didn't find well, there is no space jump in this game, but yeah, there's a lot of items in this game that aren't there, but the ones, at least like you start off with some of your items that, you know, are just kind of a pain in the butt to go and get. So I did appreciate that.
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting order of items. Like you had this kind of weird this weird eclectic grab bag of stuff, and then like you mentioned, you don't get the space jump. You do get a double jump instead, kind of like Metroid Dread, which I guess in the context of Doom also makes sense because in the new games you get a double jump in those games as well. But
and it's essentially a space jump anyways, because you can kind of. You can cheese it a little bit to jump progressively higher and higher if you want to. But yeah, so there's no space jump, but there is the double jump. And it does have the space jump animation to it, which is something, at least.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that I noticed, too, is... and this isn't about the items anymore. I just want to talk about the actual, like, the tiles and the backgrounds and stuff like that. I had a little bit of a tough time in the complex area, just especially when I started off, just kind of discerning like, okay, what is part of the background and like what's part of the foreground, because the background tiles were very, very strong, and I'm not sure if that would have came across as you were like watching a video, but when I was playing it, I thought I could jump up and grab something, and I was like, oh well, this is part of the background, like I look like a fool now. So I did notice that, and that kind of reared its ugly head a few different times during my playthrough, but a small grievance, but, you know, something that, you know, it's such a small thing, but it does make a difference, just, like, shading your tiles in the background a little bit lighter so that you're not just trying to jump on something that isn't there. So that was something that I noticed, like, a lot through the complex, actually.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see how if you're playing that for the first time, you can definitely get a few of those confused, because a lot of those pixel shades are very similar, and so
yeah.
you kind of have to pay attention to the outlines, I feel like. But even then, like, it could definitely be difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it can, but and not so difficult that it makes it unplayable, of course. But it's something anyways that I contended with. So yeah, so you're progressing through this complex. There's a lot of the space pirates that you will fight on the Chozo mother, or I'm sorry, the space pirate mothership in Zero Mission. So that's kind of nice, because it felt Doom-like, because these are some pretty powerful enemies, and like there's at least some enemies right away that challenge you. So that was kind of nice to see these guys show up, and it was kind of cool actually, because the first missile expansion that I got. So there was a missile expansion, and then there was a block of blocks around it. So, like, a square shape with a bunch of blocks around it. I didn't have any bombs, I just had my beam, and so the space pirate was shooting at me, and I dodged, and this guy actually destroyed all the blocks for me, and that's how I picked up my first missile. So I thought that was kind of charming, just like a... kind of made me feel a little bit smart, so I did really like that that design idea. And in fact, there's a screenshot of what I'm talking about on the Metroid Construction website that shows you where the first missile expansion is. So started off pretty cool. And what was also cool is each missile expansion in this game is worth 30 missiles. So I was like, hell yeah, let's go to town.
Oh, I didn't even notice that during the playthrough. I guess that makes sense, because the guy that I was watching, he commented near the end, like, wow, I have a lot of missiles. But I was like, wait, but you didn't pick up that many. But that actually makes more sense now, if each one is worth 30. That is quite generous, to say the least.
It was quite generous. And as we'll get to in a little bit, I wonder how many missiles you could get with, you could end up with if you 100%ed this game, because there are a ton of them. A couple quick other notes here, and I'm just kind of jumping all over the place. So we talked about the double jump that replaces the space jump here. One thing that was noticeable for me is that there was no wall jumping at all in this hack, which is which is funny because there is wall jumping in Zero Mission.
Yeah, that's another thing that I noticed instantly that I thought was odd. I guess maybe wall jumping was removed because it might have broken the demo. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but, I'm not sure either, but
yeah, I thought it was weird.
It was a little bit weird. But I mean, again, kind of like whatever. There were some expansions. Actually, there's one in particular that I'm thinking of where wall jumping would have been quite handy. But like other than that, I don't know if I ran into too many areas where I would say that I think wall jumping might have, like, I don't know, compromised the progression or the structure of the game. So I think it was just a choice to remove it. Maybe because you don't have wall jumping in Doom. I'm not really sure. But either way, one other thing that I noticed too, it took me forever to find a save station, to the point where I had written down a note that said, okay, well, I guess this game doesn't have save stations. And it does. It just took me a while to find them. And I think I only found about 4 or 5, which, I mean, it ultimately doesn't matter because if you're playing on an emulator, you can play, you know, you can use save states and stuff like that. But I did notice it.
Yeah, I don't think I saw any save stations in the playthrough that I watched.
Which, I mean, fair enough, like, the really good players are gonna, you know, they're gonna do this game without save stations, and I'm not a really good player, so I need those guys. So yeah, as we're progressing through the game, I noticed a really weird thing that also that this game does, and I'll try and explain it properly here, but it's in regards to the music. So there's really only 2 tracks in this game, well, 3 if you include the boss tracks. But one thing that happens, and it's only happened in the complex, is that when you face a boss, which I faced the Charge Worm boss, which we'll talk about in a second here, when you face that boss, after you defeat it, or once you get an expansion, it's really weird. The Brinstar music starts playing until you leave that room, and then the stealthy music starts playing again after that. And it was just like, it was really weird, and it kind of... Again, it kind of took me out of the element a little bit because it was like, huh, this clearly should not be happening, but it is. And again, you know, 1 week contest, whatever. But I did notice that this hack does have a few hiccups like that do rear their ugly heads every now and then.
Yeah, I wonder if that's, well, I'm not wondering, I'm theorizing that glitch, it has something to do with the fact that a boss does appear in Brinstar when you fight it. And so I'm wondering if that's like something that was overlooked, that was kind of still taped onto it.
I would imagine so. But even like after you beat a boss, I would have almost expected like the item music to start playing or something like that. I don't know. But it happened a few times. It was kind of weird. But again, it's not anything... Not anything like game breaking, anything like that. I started progressing. I was doing my thing, collecting missiles, fighting space pirates, and eventually I did get to the Charge Beam Beast. And this guy actually has a real name. It's, I don't even know if I can pronounce this. Diorumu. So Diorumu, aka the Charge Beam Beast. And in Zero Mission, you can fight this guy. And if you don't beat him quickly enough, he actually will run away and you have to go and fight him at a different location later. I don't think I've ever not defeated him the first time, except when I played Doomtroid. I don't know what I was doing, but he got away from me. And I kind of liked it because I felt like the fight was a little bit harder. Like in Zero Mission, he basically just like will launch straight down at you all the time. And it's incredibly easy to dodge. All you have to do is not be standing in the middle of the arena, and you can get away from him. This one, he was kind of moving around a little bit, so I kind of like that. It was a little bit of a challenge. I did eventually go find him and smoke him, but I was like, okay, this enemy's hard. Kind of feels like Doom. I like it.
I don't really have anything much else to elaborate. I felt like, I don't know if during my playthrough, but it looked like it only took 2 shots to defeat on my playthrough, but I couldn't tell if the guy was just rapid firing or not. So I don't know. It probably was a 3-shot kill like it usually is, but I don't know. It almost looked like 2 shots in my playthrough.
I'm sure it was a 3-shot kill. I don't know. I was just sucking and I missed a couple missiles. So Yeah, that was the first boss, and I do have some notes about the bosses later, but so I beat him up, I got the charge beam, I'm progressing through, and it's a fairly linear game that I found so far anyway. So you progress mostly through the complex and it's a straightforward path, and eventually you get outside to Heck. And I will say that the background looks awesome. So it's got like the big red sky. It kind of looks like what you might expect Mars or Hell to look like. But one thing that I feel is, I don't know if this is even possible or not, but so one thing that I noticed is like the Ridley area music starts playing. And the Ridley area music is awesome, by the way. It's a great tune, and it probably is the closest thing in Zero Mission that fits the theme of what you might think this area would look like. But I was thinking to myself, like, man, I wish that they would have been able to get some music from Doom, like one of the early Doom games, and just have it playing in the background. Like, I think that that would have really added a lot if there was Doom music in here. And I don't know the logistics behind adding in different music tracks or anything like that, but we have played a lot of different hacks that have either original music or music from other games. So, like, I don't think it's unheard of. So I would have thought that would have been an easy way to kind of get, like, that Doom, you know, Doom feeling to this hack. And unfortunately, it never happened.
Yeah, I think this is, again, just another symptom of this being, you know, the product of a one-week project. And so I feel like if you give this a lot more time, absolutely there would be Doom music implemented in this, which I would love to see. I would love to see Doom music in the style of, like, the Zero Mission sound font. I think that would be super dope. But,
I mean, like, even if they ripped it from, you know, I don't even know Doom. What were the first Doom games on? Were they on, I don't think they were on Super Nintendo, right? I think they were just on PC. Actually,
no, there was a Super Nintendo port. Was just the first game, though, not Doom 2.
Okay. I have to look this up, actually. Doom series. Because, I don't know what it is. It just seems incomprehensible to me that, like, that would be on a Nintendo console.
They were also on the, both 1 and 2 were also on the GBA 2, weirdly enough, but those ports are pretty, at least their music is pretty infamous for not being very good at all.
Right, well, but you know what I mean? Like, even if it was taking, like, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, the original Doom is on the Game Boy Advance, so they could have, like, ripped that music. Even if it's not good music, like, at least it's Doom music, you know?
Mm-hmm. Either way, I still think, I still would love to hear Doom rewritten in the Zero Mission font. I think that would be a really cool idea. And there's definitely a ton of things. Like, I could totally see, like, Dark Halls working for the complex theme, and then maybe what's it called? I can't remember the name of the track right now. It'll
come to you.
It's like one of the last tracks in the game. It's like Breaking the Code or something like that. I feel like that could really work for the Hell theme, or maybe Adrian's Pen or something like that.
Right. I know I'm nitpicking here and, like, not really being fair, because, like, we've established, like, he only had a week to do this. But I don't know. I feel like the Doom music would have really, really added to the presentation of this hack. I actually think that's probably the single biggest thing that is missing from here. And there's a lot missing from here, as we've established. But that one, I wish that they would have done that. I had another nitpicky complaint, but this one was actually just more about Zero Mission in general, where, and we can take this observation for what it's worth, and it might not be worth anything, but there is a particular puzzle in this game where you have to drop, and like, you're in morph ball form, and you have to drop and immediately grab a ledge. And I was so frustrated because Zero Mission is so clumsy at being able to quickly switch while you're falling from morph ball to, like, regular mode. So I was cursing trying to get this done, trying to get this one particular puzzle where the speed boost was hidden behind finished. So I thought I would mention that. So I'm not dumping on Doomtroid here, but in fact, calling out Metroid Zero Mission for that. It's very clumsy. Probably no one in the world cares about this or agrees with it except for me, but that's okay. I'll just be the old dude yelling at clouds here.
All right, I just looked it up. The themes that I was talking about from earlier are The Demons from Adrian's Pen and Deep Into the Code. Those were the songs that I was thinking of.
Deep Into the Code. Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, which fun fact, deep into the code, actually the main riff is taken from a Slayer song, so fun fact.
That makes sense, right? Like,
yeah, there's a few songs in those first two games are like directly like ripped from like other like mainstream like rock and metal songs. It's pretty funny.
That is good. You know, this is totally off topic, but I also love when you play Axiom Verge, how like all the bosses are ripped off from like Mad Max or The Dark Knight or something like that. It's very charming. It makes me smile. Okay, so I continued my adventure through Heck, and eventually I got to the ensnared Kiru Giru. And this was actually kind of a cool fight for a couple different reasons. First of all, it was a good fight because I am a fool and skipped getting the ice beam, which is at the very beginning of the game. But I just, for whatever reason, I went left when I should have went right. And there was a door literally on the right that had the ice beam sitting right there for the taking. And I never got it. So this is mostly the same fight. There's the Ripper flying around and, you know, you're supposed to freeze it to jump on it to hit the tentacles at the top so that you can, you know, drop the ensnared Kirogiru, but I didn't have that, so it was actually kind of fun because it was a little bit more intense. I was double jumping and firing missiles in the air. There was lava in the ground, where I don't believe that there's lava in the ground in the base fight. So this was, again, it was kind of a cool fight, you know, over very quickly. It's an easy fight, but so yeah, that was a little bit more challenging at least, which is kind of fun. So he dropped to the ground and he was toast, but unfortunately, this is, other than Ridley, the last boss from Zero Mission that appears in this game, which, I don't know, feels weird to me, because I feel like if you were going to pick three bosses from Metroid Zero Mission, I think Ridley, everyone would probably pick Ridley. I'm not sure anybody would pick the charge worm or ensnared Kirogiru. Like, I don't know, it just felt like kind of a missed opportunity not to have, like, Kraid or the Chozo Test or Imago or even like Robot Ridley, I think were all cooler bosses than these guys. So while this boss was fun, yes, it was a little bit too bad to see that there wasn't any other bosses.
Yeah, I feel like this boss in particular really hammers home the feeling that I get of this feeling more like a Zero Mission remix than like a new fan project. Because like it very much is the same boss battle with just some little tweaks, some new additions that you might not remember, but nothing that really changes up the fight.
Yeah, and I do want to mention too. I was going to mention it at the end, but I'll mention it now. Allegedly, I have like 24% of the items, so maybe there is another area that, you know, can be unlocked, and maybe there is more bosses. But if they are there, they're so hidden that I think your average player was never going to find them. So, yeah, that was a little bit disappointing. Like, this fight was fun, but, you know, it is what it is. So I progressed through Heck, kept on doing my thing, and eventually I got to Ridley. And Ridley smoked me, actually, the first time, because at this point I think I only had, like, 90 missiles and 2 energy tanks or something like that, so I did some more exploring. I went in and got a couple more tanks, but then I got the wave beam. And once you get the wave beam, the fight with Ridley is completely broken. So what you can do is, in the original Zero Mission fight, when you fight Ridley, there's the platform, and then there's a break on either edge of the platform that you can drop into lava with. Well, in this version, the break in the platform is there, but there's no lava underneath. So what you can do is drop down and go under the platform, and every single one of Ridley's attacks will not go through the platform. But, of course, your wave beam will. So you can just sit under the platform and smoke him with a bunch of charge shots, and you don't take a single hit. And even once you get down there, you can have a pretty decent opportunity to fire your missiles from, you know, either corner up at Ridley and move before he actually gets in position to attack you. So I thought that this was a little bit underwhelming as well. And then, like, once you beat Ridley, literally you go into the next room and the game is over. Like, you get into your ship and you're gone. So there wasn't, like, a whole lot to this game. And they made the final Ridley fight, like, you know, stupid easy, which this is, I mean, I dare say this is probably the easiest Ridley fight in the series as it is. So that was,
wow.
That was kind of anticlimactic.
Even easier than Base Zero Mission Ridley. That's saying a lot.
Well, no, I think that that base Zero Mission Ridley is the easiest Ridley in the game, is what I was trying to say. But this one, I mean, yeah, if you have the wave beam, like, you, I guarantee you can do this without taking a hit.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, so I, so this actually, I didn't get to see a lot of this. This was about the part in the video that I got to right before we started recording, so it's really interesting hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, which, I mean, was a little bit too bad, but I beat the game, right? Like, I defeated Ridley, and I got my results after, and it was pretty pathetic, actually. So, my initial time was 25 minutes and 30 seconds, and I had 14% items, and I got the Sexy Samus as my background reward, which, go me. So, I was just like, you know what? I'm not gonna, like, this can't be all this game has to offer. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna explore. And so I did. So I went back and I like tore apart the entire map as best as I could. So I did get a couple items. I got a couple more energy tanks. I went back and got the ice beam. I got the Varia suit and I got the speed boost, which was a huge pain in the ass, like I was talking about earlier, but I got it and that was fine. And after I got the speed boost, I actually did clean up a lot of the rest of the map. And I did find a secret area that had, like, a ridiculous puzzle on it, which was hard, but, like, not in a fun way. And I think you probably saw this in the video that I shared with you, Doom. It's, like, it's the one where you have to space jump and then, like, jump up to a higher platform and the entire ground is pitfall blocks and you have to either,
yep,
like, drop, like... I couldn't do it. I couldn't, like, drop and grab the ledge with this game. I don't know what it was, if it was my controller, if I just suck, but I just, like, I couldn't do it. And I was like, this is super frustrating. So what I ended up doing was using about a million save states, first of all. And then I froze all of the enemies and, like, used them as my platform to get across. But as I was doing it, I was like, this just, it kind of sucks, like... I wish I could just drop and grab the ledge, which I feel like is fairly easy to do in, like, Fusion, in Super, in Samus Returns. I was like, I don't know what is up with this game, but I think that's a Zero Mission thing, not necessarily a Doomtroid thing. But yeah, that was probably the most intricate puzzle of the entire hack, and I can't say that it was a very fun puzzle either, unfortunately.
That puzzle reminded me so much of those two missile tanks in Fusion. You know exactly the ones that I'm talking about.
Are you referring to the one where you have to, like, space jump up, and if you touch the ground, you fall?
And literally, like, the entire it's like five different rows of platforms. And
yeah,
every single one of them is a pitfall block.
I would say that I think that this one is worse than that. There's actually not a single expansion in Metroid Fusion that I, like, hate like this one, because at the end I was just like, oh my god, like, this, I just want to get this, and I want to get the hell out of this room. Where I feel like a lot of the intricate expansions of Metroid Fusion, they're hard, but, like, they're kind of fun at the same time. And I think you could say the same thing about the base game in Zero Mission as well. So yeah, I don't know if it was me, because I was watching a video of someone do this and he was doing, like, perfect ledge grabs after being in Morph Ball form, and I was like, well, I can't do that, so I guess I just suck. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish that someone did a hack of Zero Mission where you could do the fast transform that they introduced in Dread and Samus Returns. I feel like, I mean, obviously we want sliding as well and stuff like that, but, like, even just a fast transform would be super helpful for puzzles like these.
I agree. So I did all this. I did my speed boost. I got my energy tanks, etc., etc. And I went back and I did another pass of the map, because I was like 14% items. Like, I did not pick up, you know, what, 86% of the items, I don't feel like, in what I just did. So I did another sweep of the map. I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find any extra rooms. I couldn't find, like, nothing. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go and finish the game. And so I did. And I went back and beat Ridley again. And I finished the game, this time with a time of 47.06, and I had 24% of the items. So, like, I have no idea where the other 76% of those items are, because I went back through this map, like, once, twice, and I don't know, I couldn't find anything. And I speak about it a lot on these shows, where, you know, if you speak the Metroid language and you play enough Metroid games, like, you can kind of have an eye out for, like, areas that you think might be, like, you're just like, okay, that looks like an invisible wall, or it looks like I could bomb here, like, something. You just kind of get that intuition. So whatever, wherever those items are hiding, and maybe there is a lot more game that I just don't know about, but this game was, with this hack, was not speaking the Metroid language to me, which was too bad, because I, like, I always like to go and get 100% items in these hacks, but, and especially for a hack as short as this one, I was game to spend another couple hours, but I was just going back and forth and doing nothing, so I was like, all right, I guess this is it.
Yeah, sometimes we take those design cues for granted, and, you know, it turns out that a lot of these are a lot more difficult to implement than they might seem at face value.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that when we consider, like, the limitations that, you know, this hack had, the time limit, the everything like that, like, it's fun for what it is. It's a nice way to kill an hour if you got nothing else going on. But, you know, I do have to say that I was a little bit disappointed. When I saw Doomtroid, I was just like, oh, man, this is going to be cool. I'm going to ask Doom if he wants to come, like, do the show with me. Like, we can finally talk about Doom. And I don't know. I just think, like, there was literally nothing in this hack that reminded me of Doom. And I was like, okay, like, maybe they'll rip some music from the games, or, and I haven't played very many Doom games myself, so my experience is limited, but I was like, it would be cool if you were in, like, a big room and all of a sudden, like, 20 space pirates, like, came at you. Like, that to me would feel very Doom-like, right? But, like, really, like, you know, none of the aesthetic was overly Doom-like except for that red sky in the background. Even, like, the items and stuff, like, you know, we, like, a couple of months ago, I did Scroll 6, which is like an Elder Scrolls Metroid, and they at least went out of their way to change the names of some of the items in that game or whatever. And, like, in this game, aside from the double jump, like, you know, you're still getting missiles, you're still getting the various suit. It would have been cool to have, like, the BFG in this game or something like that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. The game is definitely really light on the Doom stuff. Obviously, you got the rip and tear reference at the beginning. You have the first complex, I assume, is supposed to be like a UAC complex, and then obviously you have Heck as the final area. But, like, yeah, otherwise, again, it feels mostly like a Zero Mission remix, unless, like, a Doom Metroid crossover. I will say, though, again, obviously we both have said that, you know, we're looking at this through the lens of it being a 1 week mod. That being said, I do hope that the creator does revisit this concept, because I think if given enough time, I think this has potential in the future.
I mean, yeah, like the concept is great. I just, you know, I always feel guilty for saying it when I'm talking about a hack that I didn't necessarily enjoy. I don't know. I feel disappointed. I feel like putting some Doom music in wasn't like an unreasonable ask or like an unreasonable goal to do or whatever to do. And yeah, I just, like, really, like, if you take away the rip and tear thing at the very beginning, you could play this game, and if I didn't tell you what it was called, you would never, ever know that this was supposed to be, like, a Doom crossover, right? So, yeah. I think that was disappointing. The boss selection, I think, was disappointing. You know, they left out a lot of items that could have been cool. Like, I don't know, maybe this would have been asking a lot, but, like, even it would have been really cool if, like, you could have, like, enemies swarming at you. Like I said, like, maybe 20 space pirates come, and your screw attack activates after you've been, like, doing some good, like, I don't know, fighting or whatever, and it only activates for, like, a minute. That, to me, like, really seems Doom-like, right? Like, it just kind of seems like something that would be really cool. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, this feels like a good concept, like a proof of concept that they could do this, but I found this hack very lacking, and you know, not one of the better ones that I've played, which I mean, again, I want to say, like, I feel bad saying that. This is obviously, someone's doing this on their free time. They're putting their talents to use for us. So, you know, and it's not like it's a bad hack by any means. Like, it's Metroid Zero Mission. So, like, it's kind of like eating stale pizza. Like, it's still going to be pretty good. But I do think that the potential was there for this to be, like, really, really good. And, you know, it just, that potential wasn't realized, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I will say, when you first mentioned that you were talking about Doomtroid, we talked about this behind the scenes. I thought you were talking about a very different hack. The hack that I was thinking of was someone took the Doom game and they modded a Metroid Prime aesthetic over it. And this one does go all out on like making it a Metroid Doom crossover. And even though it's technically not a Metroid Rum hack, it's more of a Doom hack made to look like Metroid. I feel like that would be a really cool thing to cover in the future. And that I have done a playthrough on, and it is super fun. Definitely would recommend it.
We might have to do that because I do have an itching for some Doom and for some Metroid. And unfortunately, Doomtroid didn't scratch that itch for me. But, we all do our best. We do the best we can, and that's all we can ask for. So, if you want to check this hack out, it is over on Metroid Construction. It's by Jeffy962. And like I said, it's not a bad way to kill half an hour or maybe an hour if you want to really go all out. But there it is, ROM Hack Reviews. Doom, how was your first ROM Hack Review show?
I'm not sure if I fully knew what I was talking about. Most of this Most of what I was going off of was on a video that I was watching literally right before we started recording. But, I think we made it work. I was able to give a little bit more of the Doom insight into what might be going on here. But, it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you for sure, when I finish Doom Eternal, I'm going to make it my mission, actually, when I have the next game I play for fun is going to be Doom Eternal. And when I finish that, we're going to do a Spiteri show on Doom Eternal, because I know it's one of your favorite games. I loved, 2016 Doom. I thought it was awesome. So, and I've heard that Doom Eternal is just, even better. So I'm excited to play that. So book it now. When I finish that, we're going to do a show on Doom Eternal, and it's going to rock.
So here's what I will say. Don't necessarily go in, because Doom Eternal is going to be the better game if you get into the combat loop. Because I've heard a lot of mixed opinions. I know some people that very much prefer 2016 and others who, like me, who very much prefer Eternal. It's all in the combat loop. If you get the combat loop, you're going to have the time of your life with Eternal. But if you don't like the combat loop and you think it's annoying, you're going to think it's a huge step down. So obviously I'm hoping for the best, but just keep that in mind. It's a combat loop that will take some time to adjust to.
Okay, well, you know what? I think either way, we're going to have a lot to talk about, which is cool. We are going to sign off for this month. So thank you, Doom, for coming on and joining me. Usually I do these shows solo, which is like... Have you ever done a solo podcast? Because, man, it's weird.
I haven't. I can imagine that it's a lot more difficult not having someone else spitball off you, you know?
Yeah, it was nice to have someone to talk to during this month's ROM Hack Reviews. So thank you for carving out some time. I know that you got a million things going on. We literally recorded yesterday, so I appreciate you coming on. And I appreciate all of you Omega Metroid patrons for supporting the site and being awesome guys. I threw it out there in the last episode of the Spiteri show, just looking for some ideas for topics for that show, what you guys wanted to hear about. But, if there's any ROM hacks that you guys are into or that you're interested in, let me know, and I will definitely check those out as well. There it is. We are, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you guys next month. I already have the game picked. It's going to be fun, and we're going to have a great time with that. Until then, everybody, take care.